Hello and welcome to this podcast from the BBC World Service. Please let us know what you think and tell other people about us on social media. Podcasts from the BBC World Service are supported by advertising.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
These discussions with paramilitaries were at play with death.
Remarkable personal stories from around the world.
They don't speak with words, they speak with guns.
Lives Less Ordinary from the BBC World Service. Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.
You're listening to a podcast from the BBC World Service. This is Hard Talk with me, Zainab Badawi. Thanks for downloading this edition of the programme, and I hope you enjoy it. In this exclusive interview, my guest is the Prime Minister of Turkey, Bin Ali Yildirim. I ask him if Turkey is becoming more authoritarian following the closely fought referendum giving the president more power. Can the government bring together a divided nation? Prime Minister Bin Ali Yildirim, welcome to Hard Talk.
Thank you very much. You are most welcome to this beautiful country, Turkey.
Thank you. What is your response to critics who say that the recent referendum has turned Turkey into a dictatorship, that there'll be one-party rule, and that President Erdogan is going to be like a latter-day Ottoman Sultan?
Bu eleştiriler çok acımasız. Çünkü diktatörlük nasıl olur? Diktatörlük...
These criticisms are quite brutal. What is a dictatorship? Would you hold elections when there is a dictatorship? Would you have political parties? Would people vote in a dictatorship? I really cannot agree with any of these claims, because approximately 50 million people went to the ballot box, voted and made a choice. 48% or 24 million said no, and more than 25 million people said yes. There's a difference of 1.4 million. If there was a dictatorship, then we would have decided on these proportions. I mean, we would have said 80 to 90% of those people said this or that and act freely. Yet in the district of Üsküdar, where the president resides, the no votes outnumber the yes votes. In İzmir, my electoral city, again, it was a no by a large margin. In Ankara, in Istanbul, it was the same. In many metropolitan cities, primarily speaking, it was the same. It was quite a serious race. And at the end of this race, 51.4% said yes and 48.6% said no.
Oranında evet çıktı, %48.6 oranında da hayır çıktı.
All right, so you kind of addressed one aspect of the criticisms, which is that you had somehow rigged the vote, the AK Party had, so that it would be in your favour, and you've set out how you refute those allegations. But looking at the substance of what the constitutional changes will bring, the argument is that it will concentrate too much power in the hands of the presidency. That was the finding of the Venice Commission of the European Union, which looks into standards of democracy. And what it said exactly was that Turkey's constitutional changes means there would be an excessive concentration of executive power in the hands of the president and weakening of parliamentary control of that power. That's the case, isn't it?
Well, first of all, in the existing system, the president already has this mandate. But there is one difference. The president had the mandate, but no responsibility. With this amendment, we do deem and accept the already existing mandate. But in addition to that, we bring along accountability to the president. What does this mean? So when the president is using this mandate, if the president acts against the constitution or the law, he would be accountable and punished. The existing constitution didn't have this. So we are moving from a constitution where the president enjoys the mandate, but not to be accountable, to one with mandate and accountability at the same time. This is an important step towards democracy. So these allegations, these claims are not fair, and we cannot agree with them. And it's not right that power is concentrated on one man.
Gücün tek elde toplandığı meselesi de doğru değil.
I tell you what exactly the concern is. The president would now have the power to choose cabinet ministers without parliamentary approval, also senior judges to the constitutional court. He can issue presidential decrees, dissolve parliament unilaterally, have control over the state bureaucracy. So although people in Turkey said, yes, we needed to have the constitution changed because the one we were working from was from the military-imposed one from the 1980s, they're saying, we don't want these kind of changes, however. So that's the point. Yes, you had to change the constitution, but you've just given the president too much power.
Şöyle söyleyeyim, bir kere bu anayasa darbe sonrası hazırlanmış bir anayasadır.
Well, first and foremost, the existing constitution was prepared after the coup and came into force without any discussion in society. It was amended 18 times. So, taking into account the needs of Turkey, certain amendments were made to the constitution. This last amendment we have made is the biggest. With this amendment, separation of powers will be established. So executive powers, legislative power and scrutiny and the judiciary will be totally separated.
Getirmiş oluyoruz. Yani yürütme ayrı olacak, yasama, denetleme ayrı olacak, yargı da ayrı olacak.
But if the parliament is controlled by the ruling party, the AK Party, that effectively gives, would give, for example, President Erdogan from the AK Party, six judges, and it would give the majority party in the parliament the right to choose seven judges. So it means effectively the executive would control the judiciary. So you don't have a separation of powers.
Ama orada oranlar var. Oran çok yüksek. Yani 5-3.
But we have proportions here, and the proportion is very high. Without the 3/5, you cannot select. So one single major party cannot elect alone. So when the Turkish people elects, they actually do the fine-tuning. If they are giving one power to someone, they do the balancing as well.
You refute the fact that it doesn't look good for Turkey that if President Erdogan were to win the next elections in 2019 and the one after that, he could have been in power for 3 decades. And people say, look, that's not really good for democracy. It would make Turkey at very best an authoritarian democracy.
Ama dediğiniz gibi olsa haklısınız.
Well, if it happens the way you just said, you are right. But we should never forget that in a new system, you cannot be elected more than 2 terms, no matter how successful the person elected is. 5+5, if he completes a full term. So 2 terms served cannot exceed 10 years. Mr. Erdogan served as a prime minister for 11 and a half years. And each election, his support grew.
Ve her seçimde de desteğini arttırdı.
All right. There was also concern about the manner in which the referendum was conducted. First of all, there have been allegations that there was vote rigging and electoral fraud by the opposition CHP and also international observers from the OSCE, the Organization for Security and Cooperation for Europe, said that there were voting irregularities. There was also concern about the government using its privileged position during the campaign to put all the posters up all over the place saying vote yes and depicting people who wanted to vote no as terrorists. And that was a climate that wasn't conducive to a level playing field, as the Council of Europe said.
Şimdi bütün seçimlerde bu söylenir.
Now, this is always said in all elections. Now, there will be elections in the UK very soon. Does the Prime Minister leave office when going for elections? I don't know, does Theresa May leave office? Does she go to elections still as a Prime Minister or as an ordinary citizen?
Sıradan vatandaş olarak mı seçimlere gidiyor?
But the opposition CHP say they will not accept the results of the referendum. They're going to appeal to the constitutional courts and take it as far as the European Court of Human Rights if necessary.
Milletin kabul ettiğini.
When people accepted a certain thing and the main opposition party is not accepting it, would that count? Nobody has the right to overturn the decision made by the people in a court. Neither of the European Court of Human Rights nor the Constitutional Court or any other can change this decision of the people. The decision of the millions can only be changed by the people themselves again. So I think these efforts are all in vain. And my recommendation is that the main opposition party should accept the national will and work harder for the next elections so they can win people's favor.
Daha fazla milletin gözüne girsin.
But nevertheless, it was a very close result. And you're being urged to form the broadest possible national consensus to try to bring together the two parts of the country, those who voted yes, those who voted no. How are you going to do that?
Şimdi bu aradaki farkın az veya çok olması izafi bir şey.
Well, this difference being too little or too much is relative. So I would ask one question to you. In the Brexit referendum, what was the difference in terms of the vote?
Aradaki fark ne kadardı?
Just over a million, about 1.3 million.
Bizimki de 1 milyon 400 bin. Yani yaklaşık aynı. Orada peki çıkma yönünde karar verildi.
And the difference in our referendum was 1.4 million. Very similar. So the decision was to leave the European Union. But did those who said no to leaving the European Union objected to the results or said they would not recognize it? They didn't. In democracies, you need to respect the decision. So this margin shouldn't be a problem. I would agree with you when you say that there are this much of no voters and this much of yes voters. And it is very important to embrace the others, those that voted no. And we have to work on this. We need to prevent any division in this society. And we really need to look into why those people said no. And we really should win their hearts. We will definitely work on this. Because we are a country of 81 million people. We are all brothers and sisters and make up Turkey altogether. We have to do this.
Bunu sağlamak mecburiyetindeyiz.
But do you accept that it's really necessary for the government to avoid any further divisions at this very difficult time for Turkey in the aftermath of the failed coup last July? For example, you've extended the state of emergency. There are tens of thousands of people, academics, politicians, lawyers, members of the military, who are still in detention. And, you know, the criticism here, Prime Minister, is that there was an understanding that there was going to be a limited purge after the failed coup, but now you've gone beyond that. What do you say to that criticism?
Şimdi biz büyük bir felaketle karşı karşıyayız.
Well, we are face to face with a big catastrophe. We have experienced a big trauma. We had martyrs who lost their lives and many people injured. And this Fethullah Gülen terrorist organization infiltrated all the fragments of the institutions of the state. And it's not easy to clean this off. What is easy is attacking and criticizing us cruelly. Yet I have one question to those who have these criticisms to us. What would you do if this happened to you, to your country? If innocent people were killed and if your democracy was put on hold? If your parliament was bombed and your prime minister was held at gunpoint or your president was attacked? What would you do?
But you need a proportionate response, don't you? And the criticism is that the response has been disproportionate.
Şimdi eleştirileri,
well, of course, I have an understanding of those criticisms. But I think some criticisms are harsh.
We cannot accept those criticisms that lead to this perception that as if we are arbitrarily victimized people, as if nothing had happened. We want a bit of empathy. Turkey is in a difficult region. We are trying to accommodate millions of people who had to escape for their lives from Syria, from Iraq. We fight against Daesh, PKK, Fethullah Gulen terrorist organization. So in a difficult geography, we are trying to instill peace around the world. We are trying to make our democracy stand and ensure the security of Europe. So Europe and other countries should be thankful to us. They should encourage us. But rather, they are actually quite cruelly creating a picture as if we are the ones who actually did this coup, or that the perpetrators have nothing to do with it. I think this is unfair, and it saddens us. The Turkish people do not deserve this, because they actually sacrificed a lot and endangered their own lives to prevent the coup, and owned up to their own future.
Just another question on a referendum. President Erdogan has also said that he would like to see a referendum on Turkey joining the European Union. If there were such a vote, what would the Turkish people vote?
Şimdi bir kere şunu söyleyeyim. Eğer şu gün...
Let me first say this. If you put this question to the people today, I believe there would be an unfaltering no vote to the European Union. Because some European countries have openly taken sides in this referendum campaign and given active support to the no campaign. With whom? With the separatist organizations. And they prevented the yes campaign. The European countries continue to shake a finger at us and kind of threaten us. Our nation doesn't accept this. They are very dignified and don't take instructions from this country or that. So that is why the public opinion is not very positive when it comes to the European Union at the moment. Although this is not on our agenda yet, if it was, I think it would be a no. But then again, I think this decision needs to be made by the European Union rather than us. The European Union is confused. And I think they also have to establish a strategy for the future. Will they carry on based on the European Union values or turn it into a Christian club? They need to put this clearly to us so we can decide what we have to do.
Ondan sonra da bizim bu karar karşısında kendi kararımızı oluşturmamız lazım.
When the referendum result came out on the constitutional changes, President Trump congratulated President Erdogan. And also we've seen how President Trump now in Syria has fired around 60 cruise missiles at Bashar al-Assad's military base. You deal a lot, obviously, with the Americans when it comes to Syria. Are you seeing a shift in President Trump's White House that perhaps there could be a move towards regime change, getting tougher with Bashar al-Assad than the previous Obama administration?
Doğru, doğru. Obama rejimine göre Suriye'de olup biten rejimin yaptığı son olarak...
That's true. When we compare this to the Obama administration, I mean, you know the latest events, the chemical weapons being used and innocent children being killed, and this led to Trump administration to take action. And he responded quickly. I think it's a positive development. Because in the Obama administration, the region actually was left to the others. And not many policies were being produced. As a result, the problems there gradually increased and even led to the strengthening of the regime, and those countries that backed the regime became more active in the region. Therefore, this action of the Trump administration relieved the people in the region that there will be a balance established in the region. So, with this regime in Syria, there won't be a political solution or a lasting peace. I mean, sooner or later, this regime in Syria should definitely go. And a solution based on a Syrian state that includes all Syrians, together with Arabs, Turkmen, Yazidis, Kurds, must definitely be established. And the U.S. should continue playing an active role. Turkey is already making a lot of sacrifice for peace in the region.
Yaptıklarıyla bölgede en fazla fedakarlık yapan, en fazla barış için çabalayan ülkedir.
Are you urging the US to be tougher on Bashar al-Assad, to try and remove him one way or another? Is that what President Erdogan tells him?
Yani doğrusunu isterseniz ABD'nin Suriye sorununun çözümünde elini daha fazla taşın altına koyması gerekir.
To tell you the truth, the US needs to assume more responsibility in the solution of the Syrian question. Otherwise, we will delay the solution and more people will get hurt. At the moment, approximately 1 million people, innocent civilians, women, children, lost their lives. More than 10 million people had to abandon their homes. If the international community does not see this, and if the United Nations does not produce any solution to that, then I ask you, what is the United Nations for? I mean, if the superpowers turn a blind eye to these issues, then how can one ensure peace and fraternity in the future? True, I think the US should assume more responsibility together with Russia, Turkey, and perhaps Iran to some extent, and the countries in the region and the United Nations should come together and resolve this issue. Turkey is a guarantor of the ceasefire, and this safe zone needs to be established for refugees. And gradually, we should take steps for a political solution to this issue.
Kalıcı siyasi çözüm için adımlar atılması gerekir.
Finally, presidential elections are due in 2019. If President Erdogan wins, what's going to happen to you? You're going to be out of a job. You're not going to be prime minister. The post has been abolished. What are you going to do?
I'm going to come to you and to ask.
What, come work with me?
To help.
Will you be out of a job?
It's funny. The opposition party chairman, he was campaigning. I'm campaigning for Mr. Yildirim because I don't want him to be dismissed. So this campaign, he used very strongly this argument, and I told them, don't think about me, think about the future of this country. I can find a way to do something.
Could you become vice president?
I have no long-term plan in my life. I am right now in taking a responsibility of governing this county together with president, and until the next election, then after, let's see what is going to happen. God knows, Allah knows what's going to happen.
President Erdogan hasn't given you a clue? No, he hasn't.
We are friends, many long time, since 1970s. We worked together, we go together, we did a lot together. So at the end, we will be together as well.
So it sounds like
one way or another.
One way or another, Bin Ali Yildirim is not going to disappear from the political scene by the sounds of it.
There is a time frame. You can't go forever. If the people needs you, you have to be there. If not, you better to be away. So it's not my decision. That people, if they want to see me in politics, if they see that it is useful for the people, for the country, I will be disposal of my people. Otherwise, I am not disturbing anyone, so just go beside.
Prime Minister Bin Ali Yildirim, thank you very much indeed
for
coming on Hard Talk.
Thank you for coming.
This edition of Hard Talk was presented by me, Zainab Badawi. For details of our complete range of podcasts and our terms of use, go to bbcworldservice.com/podcasts.
I knew right at that moment that my whole life was gone. gone to jail for a very, very long time. There was no doubt about it.
Lives Less Ordinary is the podcast with astonishing personal stories from across the globe.
And honestly, even at that point of reporting to a journalist, I don't think I really knew that that was in itself an act of whistleblowing.
Expect the unexpected.
The only future is death here. So if we live, we might have a chance. We will die anyway, but we will die trying.
Lives Less Ordinary from the BBC World Service. Find it wherever you get your BBC podcasts.